We'll get the recording started, Alan. The recordings have started. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome on today's ALAC Leadership Team meeting, mid-monthly meeting, on Monday the 31st of August at 2000 UTC. On today's call, we have Alan Greenberg, Kijani Benjema, Holly Raich, Leon Sanchez, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Julie Hammer, and Maureen Hilliard. No apologies noted today. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Young, and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much, Gisela. All right. First item on our agenda is policy development activities. I think we're in moderately good shape here, but if I could ask Ariel to take us through them.
Sure. This is Ariel Lam speaking. So for now, we have several statements that are receiving comments internally. The first one is next generation GTLD registration directory services to replace WHOIS preliminary issue reports. The internal call for comment will close today, and we will start the vote on that statement shortly. And that's the first statement.
Ariel, I hope your date is wrong on the agenda.
The date already been fixed, and I'm not sure why the agenda is not reflecting the change. It's probably a copy-paste.
Say that again?
The date already been changed. I don't know why the PDF is not reflecting the change.
Okay.
And, yeah, you mentioned that before, so I paid attention to that.
I printed out a few minutes ago. It said 6th of August.
And then I changed it 20 minutes ago, so you copied too early.
Okay.
And the next statement is initial report on data and registration.
I have no idea what's happening here. Let me just find out what's going on. I have some very bad noise coming from the Adobe Connect. Does anyone have the line close to a storm, close to an open door, window, standing in the open air?
Well, since we can't hear Ariel anymore, I suspect it's your line.
No, it's not my line. I just muted.
Ah.
Okay, it's all good now. Okay, the next statement is initial report on data and metrics for policymaking. Maureen has drafted that statement, and the comment will close tomorrow. We have received some comments from Cheryl and Sebastian. So, and then we also will open the vote shortly after that call for comment close. That's the second one. And the third one is IANA stewardship transition proposal that Olivier drafted. The call for comment will close on 2nd of September. And I believe, Alan, you want to talk about that statement.
Yeah, let's defer to the session on the CWG ICG.
Okay. And the one thing I do need to know is about the vote schedule, because the public comment will close on 8th of September, and we may not have enough time to ratify the statement before submission. So that's just a one note for you. And the next one that is currently asking seeking comments is the one that Alan drafted on the CCWG Accountability Second Draft Report. Call for comment will close on the 3rd of September before Alan goes away for vacation. So make sure you are putting enough comments for him to digest and incorporate into the draft. And then we do need to open the statement, the vote on the 6th of September for that statement.
On that one, Ariel, we may keep it open later depending on how things are going. But at this point, we're saying comments close on the 6th, on the 3rd, rather. But we still have to go through this week, and we'll see how it goes at that point. There were a lot of changes introduced last week that we'll be talking about. So,
okay.
We'll keep that one fluid.
Will you work on this statement when you're on vacation?
If necessary.
Okay. Sounds good. The next one I want to draw your attention to is a proposed ICANN bylaws amendment, GNSO policy and implementation recommendations. That's the one that Alan, you volunteered to draft, but we are already just a few days left for this public comment. It's going to close on the 12th of September. What's your status on drafting that statement?
I want to talk about that a little bit. We can do it right now. My intention when I accepted the responsibility was essentially just to reiterate the two comments we had. Number one, that we have concerns about overall timelines, that we support the concept, but we have concerns about the overall timelines, and we have concerns about the ability of the GNSO to handle issues where there are conflicts between the public interest and contractors' interests. And the only question I have, we've already made the same statement two or three times right now.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of wording. The question I have for this group is, do we want that to be, in addition to being a comment to the public comment, to be official advice, which says we want an answer from the board about how they are addressing the issues? My inclination, and I'm not quite sure how to word it, because we're mentioning worries, not giving a particular recommendation on what to do about it, but nevertheless, my gut feeling is that we want this to have the power of advice that compels the board to think about it. And I guess I'm looking for input from others. Holly.
But I would tend to agree with you. If we've been saying the same thing over and over again... And
yeah. Holly, can you speak up? You're very faint.
I would tend to agree with you. If we've been saying the same thing for about three or four times and being ignored, my suggestion would be you craft something and we all promise to have a look and say we would like a response as to what would be done about either of these concerns or something. I mean, I can't think of an immediate answer, but I do think we need to say something a little bit stronger since we've been ignored. Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we've been ignored. I said in each case we have said we supported the issue, the recommendation, but have some concerns.
Yeah.
And in this case, I would expect the board's reaction to be noted and we will be monitoring or something like that. You know, I'm not sure they can do anything more than that. I don't think we're suggesting they don't approve the recommendations. Anyone else have any thoughts on this? I'll draft something, and obviously you'll have a chance to comment on the specific words. But, you know, as I said, my gut feel is we should make this a strong statement that requires a response from the board. Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, I will assume that is tacit agreement and waiting for the words that I will draft. And Ariel, back to you.
Thanks, Alan. This is Ariel speaking. The last statement that is in progress, it's not a statement yet. It's for the public comment on a proposal for Arabic script root zone label generation rules. So that's another IDN-related comment. Satish did reply my email and said we should approach the Arabic-speaking ALS and solicit some input and see who is interested in drafting a statement.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to go back to that on when we get to the last ALAC meeting, where we talk about the Armenian LGRs plus the Arab ones. Holly.
Just a comment on the very first one, the registration. Sorry, got to speak up. The registration data, I would say it is it's almost a no-brainer. It's the first step in the sort of the whole EWG process and the board's response to that. Carlton and I have had a really good look. They have pretty well reflected everything that we asked. Olivier's had a look. He approved. I just think there are more important things for people to do. And, I mean, if you want to have a read, fine. But I'm really happy with that statement. I just don't think it needs any other work from anybody here. Thank you.
Yeah, that one, if I remember correctly, the comments closed tonight, and
yes,
barring someone coming in with a absolutely out of left field comment we haven't considered before, that one's going to a vote starting immediately.
Thanks.
Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. Regarding the IDN Arab script, the best one and at large who can speak about that is Mohammed al-Bashir, who was still up on it. He was a member of the working group and he is Arab speaker. So I think that Mohammed al-Bashir would be the best one to say if we have to have a statement or to draft the statement itself. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. As I said, we'll talk about that when we get to item 8 on the agenda. Anything else on the statements, on the policy actions? No? Okay. Next one is the CCWG, item number 4, and we'll also do the ICG at the same time. Olivier, have you had any indication that the statement is not ready for prime time at this point?
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Blanc speaking. So on the ICG, the statement for the ICG, CCWG, IANA, and all the associated IANA stewardship transition proposals, we've been through 3 iterations of adding things, removing things, and I think that it's ready for final, for being, you know, proceeding forward, basically. I haven't had any additional feedback or request to change anything, and so far all the responses have been positive. So I think we can move forward. What I was going to do was to ask the working group tomorrow for one final read, and that was going to take 5 minutes. And if no one suddenly raised a flag, this, I think, can move forward for a vote.
Thank you very much. The comments are officially due to close on Tuesday, on the 2nd, which is Wednesday. So we can certainly make that note. But at this point, I'm not expecting that to change radically. And I would suggest that you liaise with Ariel on Wednesday, make sure, give her the go-ahead, and once the comments officially close, we can put that open to the vote.
Okay, will do.
Okay, Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Afralu has drafted its own statement. I will send you a copy of it. It is not yet official because it is under approval of the members of Afralu. But it may change, but it is an indication. You can have a look at it and perhaps decide to include something from it. Thank you.
Okay. Has Olivier seen that draft yet?
No.
Okay. Can you give us I received a copy, but I honestly haven't looked at it. I was focusing on the CCWG part, on the accountability part. Is there anything there which is counter to what we're saying, or anything substantive which you think needs to be added from your perspective?
I think there is more details in our statements than in the ILAC statement. You will see it is more, if you want, more elaborated. So I prefer to send it to you you read it. We have almost the same answers to the questions, but with nuances, with more elaboration.
Okay. Could I ask you?
Yes.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Alan.
Okay. Could I ask you to get it to Olivier quickly? And Olivier, if possible, could you review it before the meeting tomorrow? So if there's anything there you see that you feel is a compelling change that we should include in ours, then be prepared to suggest what it is on the call so we can perhaps get buy-in or people's comments on it. I see no reason that they have to be verbatim identical, and if they're consistent with each other, that's probably as good as we need to be. But
okay.
Olivier, I'll let you you use your judgment on to what extent there may be something there which will really add to our proposal, and of course which isn't in a conflict with it.
Olivier speaking. Sure, I'll do that. No worries.
Thank you. Tijani, is there something else?
No. That's not the end. Thank
all
you.
All right. Okay, I think we finished that one. On the CCWG, sorry, I keep on saying CCWG, which is right, CCWG accountability. I'm a little bit sleepy today. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to incorporate all the changes we've been discussing by the time of the meeting tomorrow, but I will do my best, and it won't be ready a lot earlier than that, but we will go over it on the meeting tomorrow. I'm going to try to incorporate as much as I can from the suggestions that Olivier made and the things that are in the Aparello statement that I think merit, widespread, that I think have widespread support and that we want to echo. It's going to be tight. One of the things I want to discuss, and it's related to the email I sent out to the ALAC earlier today, and that's on the whole issue of civil society and the private sector. I spent a fair amount of time looking at a lot of different definitions of the two, and one of the things that becomes obvious is it is quite clear that at large, ALAC are, by the definitions, part of civil society. There's absolutely no question that we fit into that definition. And for the definitions of the private sector that do not have three components, that is, the private sector, the public sector, and the volunteer sector, as some definitions have it, we are clearly part of the private sector. On the other hand, if you ask what is the status of users, not this formal body, but users are part of the private sector in the definition where there's only private and public. If you add in the voluntary sector, then users disappear completely. And if you look at most definitions of civil society, most definitions talk about civil society as being groups or organizations. So ALAC at large, RALOs, ALSs are part of civil society, but individual users clearly do not have a fit the formal definition. That doesn't mean, I on my own can't go register for a meeting and say I'm part of civil society, but I certainly don't meet a definition that says I am. So that's a little bit problematic. And the real question is, when we talk about, and going back to the ICANN bylaws and core values at this point, when we talk about the stakeholders in ICANN, who is the stakeholder that we're talking about from our perspective? Is it us? In which case we do meet the definition of civil society. Or is it users, in which case they fall through the cracks? And I guess, you can answer now or you can answer to my email. But I think that's an interesting little bit of discussion we need to have, what is our image of who we are and what we are. Now, interestingly, The question is, what is ICANN? Is ICANN part of civil society? It sure fits that definition. That is, a not-for-profit group designed to do good things. On the other hand, it has parts, components in it, which are very definitely business. And traditionally, if business interests get together and form a not-for-profit association, that not-for-profit association, a trade association, for example, is normally deemed to be business, even though they themselves are not-for-profit. So, interesting questions. Holly, go ahead.
The one term I would add is consumers, which is a very well-known and used term. And that's everybody who is not within, well, in your role as consumer, you are not business. So it is a very clear and well-known term that's not covered by civil society, but that is focused on the actual user as opposed to business. So I did reply to your email, and I think consumer fills a gap. We tend in Australia also to talk about academia as a little bit separate, but I think academia would fit in civil society, maybe. That would be the other group that I think the ROLOs include and should be included in a multi-stakeholder term. Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's certainly in the wording that's being proposed in the bylaws, academia is listed.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? As I said, I'm going to leave the discussion open on email for a couple of days. But at this point, I don't think we have a strong case to make to say that at large is not covered by the civil society definition. But the question is at large really the stakeholder we're talking about, or is it users, and we're there on their behalf? And I'm not really sure I know that answer. Anyone else want to follow on this?
Alan, this is Heidi.
Yes, go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, sorry, I'll raise my hand now. I think Cheryl's on the call, and we've been talking a little bit about this, and I like her term. She uses the term that at large shows aspects of civil society. And I think that fits.
I am on the call. I just keep dropping out of the blasted AC room, unfortunately.
Okay. So, Cheryl, I don't know if you want to say more about that.
I'm in the room. If I could stay in the room, I could actually type something as well. Without wanting to get into extremely long debates at this point in time, yes, I like the concept of aspects. And in answer to Alan's specific question, I suggest we probably are both, because we would be, in terms of stakeholder, the advisory committee and at large per se would be defined differently to the representational role or the acting in best interest of groups that we're trying to operate with. But we can have this discussion, but we do not fit ALAC and at large just into one of these particular shapes and silos. We are across several of them, certainly, as you discovered, depending on the definition you put into the system. But aspects work for me.
Well, the real question and the short-term question is, do we go to the wall saying we demand that users be listed in that laundry list in the bylaws of who the private sector stakeholders are?
No.
So your feeling is that the ALAC and at large falls close enough into the role of civil society that we can live with that?
At this stage, yes.
Okay. Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. I do think that most of the at-large structures are organizations of civil society. There are some who are not. By the way, Alan, when you have some professional, some business entities that constitute an association of, for example, ISP, this association is civil society association. It is not business association, because they are looking after the interest of their members. They are not looking for the benefits of their work. So they are member of civil society. At least this is the definition of civil society in the World Summit on Information Society. And I don't think that we will gain a lot in holding this discussion, because it is so complicated, so complicated. So I think that we are part of the civil society, and we are some are part of the business, and perhaps we have other parts, but we are not government for sure. So this is, I don't think we have to go further in this discussion, but I assure you that most of our organizations are civil, at least in Africa, all the at-large structures in Africa are civil society organizations. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. 2 points. Number one, on whether non-profit trade associations are civil society or not, that depends on how you look at it. You know, for instance, the ICANN's business constituency says they're businesses. The NCSG says they're definitely not civil society, they're not non-for-profit. Even though they're technically non-for-profit, their views are not non-for-profit, and therefore they're not allowed in as members in that. So that's why I said the situation is somewhat confusing and is viewed differently by different people. I guess I have a question following on to what Tijani said. Are there any of our ALSs that are not civil society? Now, some people have claimed that is the case. I can't think of an example.
Cheryl here. I'd have to do a review on that, Alan. It would not surprise me to find that there are some that are not, but I would like to check on that before I make a response.
Okay. Certainly all of them are, I think all are primarily not-for-profit. So from that perspective, they pretty well don't fit into the business sector. There could be some that are closer to academia, I guess. Olivier, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And indeed, yes, the academia part, I think, is the one I can think of. A couple in Europe that are in academia, just trying to think about it. I haven't got the whole thing with me yet. Yeah, I haven't got the full list there, but I think that there are a couple in Europe that are in academia. And since you've mentioned that some business organizations could also be civil society as such, or any club of some sort could be a civil society that would fit under that as well.
Yeah, and I think there's even an overlap between academia and civil society, depending on just mm-hmm. how it's constituted. Cheryl, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I could almost argue, and Holly's a director of this organization, so she can rebut this if she so chooses, I'd almost argue that ACAN, the Australian Communication Consumer Action Network, is not civil society. It's a peak body of peak bodies.
But absolutely consumers.
That's right, and it's certainly not what I would classify as civil society. So, like I said, Alan, I'm pretty sure the answer is yes, but I'd have to do an audit to tell you which ones were what.
Yeah. I mean, civil society definitions vary. One of the common ones says you're not funded by government, you're not for profit, and therefore you are civil society.
And I can
not sure. I'm not sure how the funded.
We are funded via government, by industry, right?
Yep.
With members who pay fees. So, you know, messy, but not civil society.
Uh-huh. Careful.
Okay. Heidi, is that a new hand or an old one?
That's an old one. But if you wanted to look into your Skype, Alan, and take a look at my thoughts, you wanted me to state that?
You can say it. I don't have no objection. I'm not sure it's relevant to the discussion, but go ahead.
Okay. So basically, we have, I'm not sure if you know, but we have a resource, a staff resource, temporary staff resource, who's available for the ALS Criteria and Expectations Task Force. And through that, he will be working, reaching out to all ALSs with assistance from our fabulous multilingual team. But one of the questions might be is whether these organizations, these ALSs self-identify as civil society. And you know, if self-identification, if they believe that they are, does that make it so? I mean, these are issues that need more discussion.
Not clear what we do with the answer to that question, but we could ask it. Olivier, next.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier, I'm not speaking. And coming back to the whole thing about civil society and so on, I certainly would be concerned if we do not insist on having users listed for the very reason that, as far as I'm concerned, consumers are not civil society. They, in fact, in some cases, might embody a different view because you have a lot of civil society that are anti-consumer as such. So that doesn't help so much on this one. But the other thing that's maybe even of more concern rather than being a philosophical argument is that in ICANN, we do have the at-large community that is defined as being there for end users. And I really would cringe on not having that listed because we are in ICANN at the end of the day. To me, it's the first step to removing the end user component out of the ICANN bylaws by saying, oh, they're not going to be part of that. So now what we can do next is to also close at large down. Thank you.
Yeah. The point I was making is that at large, as an organization, a loose organization, but an organization, very clearly falls into civil society. The component parts of it do not necessarily. And that's where the question is, who is the stakeholder? Is the stakeholder only the body representing the groups, or is it the larger entity? And, you know, you could ask the same question about businesses. You know, are all businesses the stakeholder or just the ones in the business constituency? Tijani first and then Cheryl.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. If you were in the World Summit on Information Society, you would know that academia, technical community, were included in civil society. I was member of the civil society bureau at the WSIS, representing the family of science and technology. And we had with us academia, another family. There were 21 families in civil society. In fact, in the World Summit on Information Society, there was only four stakeholders. You have the governments, civil society, private sector, and organization, international organizations. So that's in this split of the community, everything which is not government and which is not private sector is civil society. That's why now it seems that the people begin to split the academia and the technical community from the civil society. But I think that this discussion will not lead us to anything because we will not, if we mention the end users plus the civil society, it will not harm anyone. It will be good. And yeah. if you want us to to think about philosophical the philosophical aspect of it. We can think about it, but I don't think we will solve it today. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we're getting into a dangerous spot if we start quoting the definitions that various groups have used, because in general, every entity defines them the way it suits their purposes. So, you know, I don't think we're ever going to go back to the WISIS definitions at this point, certainly not if we have any say in it.
May I add this, another point?
Sure.
You spoke about stakeholders and at ICANN. This is my point of view is that the stakeholders are not the same all everywhere, because the stakeholders in ICANN are different. In ICANN we have it doesn't mean that we don't belong to the other groups, to the other stakeholders of the WSIS, of the IGF. No, it means that in ICANN we have other stakeholders, which are the end users, which are the business constituencies, which are etc., which are contracted parties, etc. So we don't have to stick to one kind of stakeholders. And in ICANN, when we say stakeholder, end user stakeholder, it is a stakeholder. It is one of the stakeholders.
No. Understood, Tijani.
Okay.
Cheryl.
Thanks, Alan. Cheryl, for the record. I agree with what Tijani says, absolutely. And I was just going to point out that it really depends on how one is defining the term stakeholder. So, you know, we're going to start becoming a snake that's eating our own tail here if we're not rather careful. And of course, stakeholder in some parts of ICANN has entirely different context than what it is in others. So, yeah, fascinating debate, but, you know, when it comes to what we will or won't expect for the CCWG public comments, I think we perhaps might need to park some of the more academic aspects of our deliberations and just become a little bit pragmatic. Thanks.
Okay. My inclination at this point is to put in words essentially what we have now, but enhancing them a bit, pointing out that all definitions of civil society really talk about organizations. We believe that users are one of the stakeholders of ICANN, and therefore they should be there identified as such. To what extent it will be listened to is a different issue. But
you may wish to use the term, of course, used in the framework of interpretation words, which of course I'm not suggesting that it replaces the term stakeholder, but it could be a alternate, you know, a slash alternate, and that of course is significantly interested parties.
Yeah. Sorry, Cheryl, I didn't hear the word you actually said we should use.
Significantly interested parties.
Significantly interested
parties. No.
Defined in the framework of interpretation work, and specifically does include end users and
I'll take a look at that.
It's a good grab bag, in fact. It's a very useful term. Bandy it around freely.
Okay, thank you. If there are no other comments on this, are there any other issues we need to discuss on the CCWG accountability discussion? The next meeting is being held in some number of hours from now, about, 15 or 18. And, yes, Leon, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Alan. This is Leon Sanchez. I would only ask that, as you may be aware or not, we will be holding a series of calls this week on the CCWG with the board, and well, we held already one with the advisors, so I would definitely invite you to join us, because I think that interesting things are ahead of us, and my sense is that we will be seeing a shift on the point of view of the board with regards to the CCWG proposal. So it would be good to have you with us in those calls. That's all I have to say.
Away from support or for support?
I think that the board will support. The board will support, only with a couple of tweaks, of course. But I think that the major advance in this is that we will see overall support by the board to the proposal. And as I said, just requiring maybe a couple of tweaks, and we can actually expect some kind of I wouldn't say a counter proposal, but at least guidance on how we could solve the main issues raised by the board.
Thank you. Can you tell us very briefly what the agenda is for today's meeting? Because I will not be able to attend. I'll be able to attend only the very start of it.
Yes, well, mainly the agenda for today's call is to go through the slides that we've reviewed a number of times in different webinars, and mainly collect the first concerns by the board. This would be our opportunity to brief the board. And then we will have a longer call on Wednesday, which I would assume that the agenda for that call would be to actually address the different concerns and make the tweaks that the board would be expecting us to do in the proposal, so we can get to a final version of the proposal. So the agenda for today is only a briefing to the board, and of course taking them through the different slides that we set up.
Okay, thank you. We have a queue. Cheryl.
Thank you. Two things, Cheryl, for the record. Holly, I suggest you go to the framework of interpretation and look at what the specifics are of significantly interested parties in terms of DNS, and I think you'll rest relatively more comfortable after that. Why I raised my hand, however, was to do with the board calls, or the calls to the board that Leon was just referring to. And I particularly wanted to suggest, this is one of those read-between-the-lines moments, Alan, that it would be wise, in my opinion, to not concrete in our final documentation and have enough opportunity for possible deliberation after the call that happens on Wednesday. So not the call that's happening immediately now as we wrap up this call and move to the briefing call that Leon just outlined. I think the following call will be the one of particular significance, which, if my crystal ball is clear, I would suggest will give us as an AC a little bit to chew on, and we will need to discuss, deliberate, and perhaps edit our documentation. Thank you.
Noted, Cheryl. Anyone else with any comments on this particular item? All right, then we will go ahead. Where are we? ICANN 54. Does Leon, do Leon and Cheryl and Gisela have anything they want to share with us?
Thank you very much, Alan. This is Leon Sanchez. Well, we reviewed the matrix for Dublin, and we're still trying to manage some slots for the working groups. I believe we're falling short of slots for working group meetings, but I think that we would need to be holding a call between Gisela, you, and I, by you, I mean Alan, to make the last tweaks for the proposal. So there's really not much to update you on, but we would be requesting a call with you, Alan.
You know where to find me.
Okay. So I hope Gisela can can arrange this to happen. And I don't know, Gisela, if you want to add something to what I just said.
Hi, Leon. Thank you. It's Gisela speaking. That's great. We have a blank document that I've uploaded. Yes, the last pieces of the puzzle are coming together. As you can see, we've got a blank document, so the last pieces of the puzzle have come together. We're blanking the Dublin meeting. My apologies. I'm trying to get all the working groups onto the schedule, and that's proving a tad challenging. I've been waiting to see the main schedule to see if I can have a preview of any important meetings, but no more of an update than what I sent through last time, except that we have scheduled the two ALT meetings on the Saturday the 17th from 8 to 9.30, and then on the last Friday, the Friday the 23rd, from 8 to 9.45. And we've also put the ALAC and Regional Leadership Wrap-Up Session on Thursday from 10.30 to 12.30. That is parallel to the ICG working session as it stands at the moment, but Alan gave me the go-ahead on scheduling that. And what I'll try and do once my Outlook also decides to let me use it again, I'll send you the draft schedule that we currently have, which is the Excel table with all the columns, and you can have a look at that, and if you could give me feedback within the next 24 hours, that would be very much appreciated. And that's all from my side. Thank you.
All right, then I guess that is all done for that session. Next item on our agenda, ALAC development session and strategy sessions at ICANN 54 in Dublin. Okay, just to be clear, because there's been a few more emails around, the things that we are calling the strategy sessions, which is Saturday, is effectively the same as Sunday. We can move meetings between the two. They are used interchangeably. So let's try to make use of the best of that time so we do things in the right order and split things between days if necessary. What I would like to speak about today is what do we want in the development session? We have asked for most of a full day on Friday to meet with the new incoming ALAC, and I believe the liaisons. Heidi, are we correct on that or not? I really don't remember.
I believe the liaisons are coming as well.
Okay.
So we need, but the new liaisons. So again, we need to have that vote before Dublin, obviously.
Understood. I don't believe we're planning on doing any changes with liaisons, but if someone believes we should be, then we should be talking privately on that. We're talking about the three mandated, the three official liaisons to ICANN groups. I guess what I'd like to hear is what people want. We have to start doing some planning really soon. We have the opportunity of having a facilitator to do some of the either training, to the extent that we want training, or the kinds of group activity group building activities that one often has on these things. We need some direction pretty soon for what kinds of activities we want, what has worked well in sessions that you've participated in the past in similar types of things, and what do we want out of this. So I guess I'm looking for input right now, and I'm also soliciting input via email in the next little while. We don't have a lot of time to do it. Tijani, go ahead. Yeah, Heidi, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm very sorry. Yeah, just really quickly, if you decide to go with that facilitator, again, she's from Insight Learning, and she's going to be one of the two facilitators for the leadership training program this year.
Okay.
So she is happy. Once you confirm, and I'm hoping that you can do that really soon, she will be able to get on calls with the ALT and help plan that session as well.
Understand. But first, we need a little bit of guidance as to what we want. unless we want to turn it completely over to her, in which case I guess that's fine too. But I wanted any thoughts from people, and I know a fair number of the people on these calls have participated in similar sessions before. Tijani, did you have something to say?
Yes, thank you, Alan. You said Friday. Friday we have a full day with CCWG.
Which Friday are you talking? I'm talking about the Friday after ICANN.
After ICANN, okay. Sorry.
Alan, Cheryl?
There'll be an ALT meeting in the early morning and then followed by the rest of the day. Yes, Cheryl, go ahead.
As you know, I've done a few of these things, and I'm very keen to make sure that there is a goodly but successful component of team building, and particularly assuming you will have some new people that need to now work and hit the ground running, you may want to get some team building exercises done as an important part of your day's activity, but that doesn't mean that it can't be to topic and task. So I'm quite sure that the facilitator will be able to do a mix of more general ice-breaking and team building work, which is important regardless. Even those of you who think you know each other well will benefit from that. But I would also suggest that doing some on-topic casework can also go to building teams as well. And that's going to help when you've got people who know who they can just even back-channel and reach out to and say, now, just before I say this, what was the background on that? And that helps the dynamic, and I'm sure will allow for a faster ramping up of input from your new members. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you very much. Anyone else have any comments? I've got just a couple, but I'd like to open it up to anyone else first. Nobody. I guess I support strongly what Cheryl said, that the team building, and that comes in a variety of ways. You get noticeably different interactions with people when they have some knowledge of who you are and what your interests are outside of ICANN or outside of the particular endeavor that brought you together. So that's part of it. We're really trying to get people who feel comfortable with each other and reduce some of the formalities that certainly in some cultures are significant barriers to people working with each other. At the same time, if we can give particular training in something and facilitate the barrier breakdown at the same time, then that's killing two birds with one stone. So, Cheryl, I think we're talking about pretty much the same thing. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Clapin-Ablon speaking. I just had a question regarding the logistics of this because, Constituency Travel informed me I have to leave on Friday, so that's why I find it strange. Is it a full day?
You're not part of the incoming ALAC, but you are at this point likely to be a liaison. We need to deal with that offline.
Exactly. Thank you, Alan.
Okay. I wasn't aware. Thanks.
They should have been aware. Sigh. Anyone else? All right. Then, again, and if anyone has anything they'd like to share on planning this session, again, it's one of these things that if you don't participate now and you don't get to complain afterwards that it didn't do what you wanted. So please give your input. The next item is the leadership training program and just a very quick review of where are we on each of the five regions. Africa, we've already selected our member. Where are we? Heidi, are you in a position to tell us where are we with each of the other regions, either that we have identified the two people that the region is suggesting, and how do we move go from there to picking the one person that we're allowed per region?
Okay, this is Heidi. So we know that Afralo is Sun. For AP Rallo, the candidate will be Marine and the incoming non-com person, I believe. From Uralo, it seems that we only now have one, even though I had heard earlier it would be two, but that's Uriel. From Lacrallo, we have two, Humberto and Alberto. And from Naralo, it's Judith and Glenn. So I believe what was decided earlier, Alan, was that you would be working with Sandra and then move that up to the ALT, and then the ALAC would need to confirm those remaining Rallo people.
Okay, good. Could you send a note to me and Sandra giving those names, and I'll work with Sandra after that?
Yes, we will do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just a question on logistics, and I I'm saying it multiple times. For Lacrallo, are Humberto and this is really frustrating. And Alberto, when do their terms expire?
Alan, this is Heidi, and their terms expire, I believe, by March 2016.
With the ability to be renewed?
Correct.
Okay. I won't comment any further on that one. Julie.
Ellen,
can we try to have the echo eliminated, please?
Sorry about that. I just wanted to let you know that ESAC actually, after Sandra spoke to us and I then reinforced the message, ESAC had three volunteers for the leadership program and had to do a random selection. And the ESAC people who will be attending are Don Blumenthal and Russ Mundy. And I think that will be really good for them, but also they'll bring some useful knowledge to the program. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie. Next item, we have the ALEC meeting. And there's two items on the ALEC meeting I'd like to further discuss. The first one is a follow-on to the Armenian LGR rules. As you may recall, we have three ALSs in Armenia. One of them, the author of the statement came from one of them. The other one is essentially the author of the LGRs and decided that it was not appropriate for them to participate or comment or ask us to comment. And lastly, there is Sirenush's ALS. And Sirenush felt very strongly that the ALEC should not be in the business of making these language-specific statements. Given two out of the three ALSs did not feel that they ISOC Armenia also said they didn't think ALEC should be doing this. It's not only they couldn't contribute. So given two out of the three ALSs said we shouldn't be in this business, I didn't feel it was appropriate that we then endorse a statement on the Armenian LGRs. Noreen then said, and she has not explained, and I have no understanding of it, that she is not in a position to comment on her own either on behalf of herself personally or her ALS. I have no understanding why that would be, and she hasn't responded to me, so that's the way that one is left. I'm a little bit, I must admit, I don't know how it came about that Noreen was asked to write the statement on behalf of the ALAC. Does anyone have any insight into that, about just how that particular sequence happened? Go ahead, Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanablon speaking. I believe that she volunteered during, it was either a face-to-face meeting or during a conference call.
Okay, thank you. Well, the question then, Ariel, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ariel. Actually, I asked the IDN working group about that public comment, and then the ring emailed me and said she is willing to draft a statement. She volunteered, but via email.
Okay, thank you very much. So the question comes up on the Arabic LGRs. Are we in the, should the ALAC be in the business of making statements on language-specific things? Now, this particular, the Armenian one, ended up with something in it that might have been political, but the decision not to do it was not based on that part, on that aspect of it. I certainly don't want to be again in a position where we ask someone to draft a statement on behalf of the ALAC, and then we decide whether we want to issue a statement or not. That's certainly doing this backwards. So the question is, should the ALAC be in this business of drafting or of issuing statements where the ALAC to a large extent has no knowledge or authority on that issue and we're relying on other people? And should we be doing it in the absence of support from the ALSs where they speak that language? I open the floor. Olivier. Olivier, go ahead. Oh, Olivier put his hand down.
That was an old hand, sorry.
Okay, Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. You said that APAG is not concerned about those issues, and they are relying on people outside of their community to write statements, etc. It's not the case at all. We are at large. In at large, you have people speaking Arabic, people speaking Armenian. You have people who participated in the IDN working groups and who are very well skilled. I give the example of Sarmad Khan, who is very well who worked on this group since very long. Mohammed al-Bashir also. So I think that when we have someone who has the knowledge and who has the language, because he must be speaking this language, we may issue a statement about this particular language. If we don't have, we don't do. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Tijai, to be clear, I didn't say we don't care about it. I asked, should we be in the business of issuing statements where we do not, within our own within the community of the ALAC, have the specific knowledge. So let me continue with the speaker list, and then I'll give you my personal opinion. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. It's Olivier Clapin of Blanc speaking, and I was going to say yes to your question. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to get in?
Alan, if I may, Cheryl?
Yes, certainly, Cheryl. Go ahead.
Thanks. Declaring vested interest, having worked for well over a decade in the world of IDNs within ICANN, and indeed outside of ICANN for that matter, I'm also going to say yes. And I'm going to say yes and yes to the two-part question, because I don't think we should have a blanket rule on if we don't have ALSs speaking that particular or using that particular script, that we should or shouldn't make some level of comment. And I would suggest, however, that an intelligent way forward would always be to engage with the script-using communities wherever possible, either our at-large structures where they exist or using our at-large structures or regional hubs, the script-using communities as a matter of good outreach and principles of looking after the best interests of our end-user community. So I think it's yes and yes. Now, that doesn't mean that not doing a comment or even withdrawing a potential draft from becoming a final statement for review by the ALAC is a bad thing. I don't think
that, you know, all things, every time pen goes to paper, that it's necessarily needing to be published. In fact, I've seen some things published under the name of the ALAC, which were a waste of the fonts that were committed to them, let alone the time that people took reading them, and not just within the IDN world either. But I do think that we also need to perhaps ensure that things are done with the knowledge that not everything written will become sanctioned, and that the view of the community, both specific and wider community, will have to be looked at from time to time. But yes, I think we should do that. Thanks.
Okay, let me ask a follow-on question. Let us presume that for any given LGR script, any given LGRs, the people who are experts in the area look at it and said they did a fine job. Do we need to comment on that? In other words, do we need to put in the somewhat gratuitous comment saying the ALAC thinks it's great if we don't really have a substantive comment to make? Sorry?
It actually depends, Cheryl, for the record. It depends on how a fellow well met stuff. There are times, in fact, where a affirmative, supportive and positive comment, particularly from an advisory committee, can be an extraordinarily useful thing. Sometimes it's simply to give heart to those who've worked long and hard on something, put something out for public comment, and not one blasted person bothers to that. And that is in fact more often likely to be the case than something to do with, you know, contention sets and the wonderful world of script usage than it is, you know, new GTLD aspects. But there's also sometimes where something has gone out for public comment with still a fair degree of tension between parties that may not have been able to reach absolute consensus on matters. And when that's the case, an agreement can be a powerful thing indeed. Now, when do we decide where that's worthwhile? Well, that's where your IDN working group and the people who do have the knowledge and skills need to advise, and that's pretty much what you've been doing before you decide to do most of your public comments. And here I'd like Ariel to, as she works more and more with public comments, listen very clearly to what I'm saying, and that is that just because someone volunteers doesn't mean that that's going to be a worthwhile exercise. We do need to also make sure that the ALAC itself is happy to have taken advice from someone that says, yes, we should say something, even if it is just an affirmative and supportive piece. Thanks.
Okay. Olivier, you're next, and I think I get a pretty well gist of where we're going, but go ahead, please.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and I would support what Cheryl has said when it comes down to positive action. Giving accolades is sometimes very helpful, especially if we do feel that there might be some significant pushback from some parts of the community, and therefore what is drafted there needs our support. That said, there's also a need for the ALAC to comment if the ALAC or if people notice any omissions or corrections that are needed. And so that's why I'm a little disappointed of the outcome on this specific occasion. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Just to be clear, we've always said that if we're expecting pushback from someone else and we feel something's good, we must make a statement. So that part is clear. Okay, what I'm hearing is when soliciting someone to advise whether there's a statement, make sure we set the ground rules out clearly, that the decision whether to issue it will be made later, and we can separate the recommendation on should there be a statement from the drafting, perhaps, that the recommendation to make a statement should be made, and we're talking about language-specific LGRs here, should be made either by a significant part of the community that speaks that language or by the IDN work group. In other words, that we're getting input from someone saying a statement is warranted in this case. And again, we set expectations, as Cheryl identified, going out, but we certainly don't have a rule saying we don't do it, and we also don't have a rule saying we will every time. Does that pretty well go along with what people are saying?
Yep, green tick from me.
Okay, then I will put out something to that effect. The other item on the from the ALAC meeting is working groups. You will recall that I was suggesting we shut down inactive working groups. Olivier made the plea that that we shouldn't do that, but should try to reinvigorate. I will then request, if we have a volunteer to lead the group, and that person can put together a very brief mission statement for what the group is going to be doing, then it stays alive. If we can't meet that minimal requirement, then we shut it down and can always reinvigorate. Does anyone have any strong problem with that? Olivier.
Thanks, Alan. It's Olivier Clapin of Blanc speaking. So are you going to send an email out then to the ALAC and at-large lists and for everyone? Because I think one needs to make sure, there are two things really. The one thing I would suggest is, since you are going to have a new ALAC lineup in about a month's time, mm-hmm. you might to put it put strong pressure on your new ALAC members who are not that new in the game, that they should also be leading a working group rather than just having their two-hour call a month. That was one thing which I did try and push back when I was chair. And secondly, I would also say you need to be pretty clear that one does not need to be an ALAC member to be leading a working group, and it might be a good way to get some new members who are eager about a topic to get more involved and to do things. Thank you.
All right. Yes, I think all that's wise. I'm not sure we're going to have a lot of incoming ALAC members that are not on one of the lists already, so I'm not sure there's any reason to defer. But we may want to defer the decision until giving people some time to reply. And as you point out, the new ALAC will be well known within the next small number of weeks. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I don't think it will be productive to put pressure on people to make them leading a working group, and I don't think that everyone can lead a working group. So I think that we have to find the right people and to try to encourage them to take a working group and lead it. Also, as you said, Olivier, you don't have to be a member of the ALAC to lead a working group. So we have to encourage everyone to do so. And we try to not select, but to identify people who may be good leaders of working groups. And we have to encourage them to do so. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. One more question for the group, and I'm not asking for answers right now, but think about it for the next day or so. My habit has tended to be to send things to the ALAC list with explicit instructions to say, please forward to your RALO list. Right now, we still have a mishmash of lists. We have the ALAC announce, which people cannot respond to, and it is a subset of people. In theory, it has at least one person from every ALS on it, unless they have unsubscribed themselves, which they may well have. We have the RALO list, and then we have the at-large list, which is not quite a superset of anything. And I'm not quite sure what the right lists are to send these things to. So interested in people's thoughts on it. But think about it, and I will perhaps solicit questions from one or two of you privately if you don't contribute them to me voluntarily, And is there anything else, any other business in this meeting to discuss, or can we adjourn a few minutes early?
Whoopee.
Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, thank you all. We'll see you in a while. Bye-bye.
Yep, we'll soon. Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting has been adjourned, and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining today's call.